Second Timothy 4. This is Paul giving final instructions to Timothy. And I'm always kind of bemused because a lot of the commentaries will say the PE, the pastoral epistles, but really it could be the prison epistles too, because Paul at this time is in prison. But he's still encouraging his disciples, no matter where he is at. He is still encouraging those who have followed him and are likewise following Christ. So, and again, I'm reminded of the words of the Father to Joshua, and it was, "Be strong and of good courage. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." This is very much in the same vein. Timothy, be strong and of good courage. As I was with Paul, I will be with you. And that is the overall message to Timothy. In all this, and all this that he is going through. And really, I will be honest with you. Excuse me. While I'm reading this, I am getting convicted because my life does not match up with that of Paul, or with that of Timothy, or with that of any other disciples. I fall woefully short of the apostolic call. But there it is. We are forgiven. I am forgiven. Because really, when the words of Paul, he is explaining and conveying the seriousness of Timothy's call. He has said that Timothy is equipped for every good work. Timothy is equipped for this, and I guess that's where I have the thoughts of being inadequate. Am I equipped for what the Lord is calling me to do, or for what even those who are discipling me are calling for me to do? And right now, I fall short. So, with all that said, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Paul is looking back on Timothy's testimony when Timothy was commissioned. He is looking back at what Timothy had declared and what the elders had declared over Timothy. And he is reminding Timothy of the seriousness. The seriousness of the words that he had spoken when he was commissioned. So, I am at that place right now where I am trying to take stock of the seriousness of what I have been commissioned to and what I am falling short of. So, again, in chapter 3, Paul would say, that you are being commissioned before God and Jesus and these witnesses. He is referring to the name of it escaped me right now. The ceremony or the time when Timothy was commissioned, and that ceremony and that commission was serious. God heard it. Christ heard it, the witnesses, and Paul even goes so far as to say, even the angels in heaven heard it. And since you declared that, not only is that going to be required of you, but that is by the Holy Spirit. Is going to be accomplished in you. So, in all that, realize that is Timothy, it's not you, it's not by your own strength, it's not by your own intelligence, it's not by your own background that you will accomplish this. You will accomplish this, Timothy, by the work, the inworking of the Holy Spirit. And that's what gives me confidence. And that's the grace I rely on, that it is going to be the inworking and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life. To make what I have proclaimed into reality. In verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and teaching. That is the mandate of any pastor, to be ready to preach the word when it is convenient and when it's inconvenient. Preach the word. Yeah. Let me see. Both 1 and 2 are a single sentence. And I'm trying to catch up on my notes here. Anyways, Again, be ready with the word in season and out of season, when it is convenient, what is inconvenient. Be ready with the word when you find yourself in a situation where you can easily proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be ready, even in a situation where you find it difficult to proclaim the word of Christ in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be ready in any situation. And by preaching the word or declaring or proclaiming the word, you are to convince I remember one pastor who has fallen into disrepute, sorry to say. His mandate for his city is that everybody should hear an understandable presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ once a year. We are to convince, we are to present the gospel in a convincing, understandable manner. It is our responsibility as the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ on this planet. Review. That that goes without saying. If we are preaching the word of Christ, there will be an element of rebuke in it. Exhort. Also, just along with that rebuke, there will be an exhortation to follow Christ, to live holy lives. And this is on Timothy and Paul's and with all long suffering and teaching. We all have to remember to be patient. We all have to remember that when we are preaching the word of Christ, when we are preaching the kingdom, we are preaching the gospel, to be patient. Many want people to fall out in rebuke. But that's not going to happen necessarily. Because in the next verse, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they heap up for themselves teachers. We are in an age where the teaching of the gospel, the false teaching, the false prophets are running rampant. And we have to, with patience and long suffering, which are the same really, we have to realize it is not the eloquence of our words, It is not the way we put a sentence structure together. It is the Holy Spirit that will convince and extort and rebuke. That's why one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is patience. So, when we are proclaiming the Word of God, we must realize that there are going to be people at one point or another that will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own doctrines, because they have itching ears, they will heap on themselves teachers. They have itching ears. They want the next new and novel thing. Even in the body of Christ, there are people who look for the new and the novel and not sound doctrine. I'm not going to go there. Anyways, they're not going to put up with it. They're going to be bored with it. They're going to be unimpressed by it. That's why they're not going to endure. They're going to be bored. It is not going to be something that is exciting or new in their wheelhouse. But that doesn't say we don't stop convincing, rebuking, and extorting with patience and teaching. Pastor Oz is an example of patience in teaching. He realizes the office of a teacher is to present a teaching, present it again, and present it again, even though it was explained correctly the first time. We have to remember that there are times when people just won't understand it. There are times when people will not be ready for it. And also, there are going to be teachers, people who heap up for themselves teachers of the new and the novel. And when we are preaching sound doctrine, we will not be reaching those who are seeking the new and novel, because we will be preaching sound doctrine, sober doctrine. And in verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn and be turned aside to fables. The truth has an element of rebuke. The truth has an element of what we're doing, what we're thinking is wrong. And when we get that, when we realize that what we're doing is wrong, That makes us really uncomfortable. And I remember in my photographic days, one of my teachers said that, you know what? When you're taking a photograph, always assume that you're in the wrong spot. And I've taken that into the kingdom to where I always assume I am in the wrong spot. And I need the word of God to correct me and put me in the right spot. We need sound doctrine, and we need truth and not fables and not myths. In verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Again, Paul is reminding Timothy of his calling at the beginning. When he was commissioned, when he was at the presbyteriate, when people were speaking words over him, the Holy Spirit was speaking, elders of the church were speaking. And that means something. It was truth that was being spoke of. So, again, be watchful in all things. Be sober minded in all things. Not only, it's not just not to be intoxicated. It's a mindset that seeks the truth and seeks the truth in the light of day. It is not a call just to be not drunk or not intoxicated. It's a mindset of being sober, of being rational, of being going in to the gospel with open eyes and with open ears, and our spirit turn to the Spirit of God. When that happens, we are sober in spirit. And that's what Paul is calling Timothy to. That's what the Lord is calling us to. And again, the reason I kind of bemused at the shorthand a lot of commentators take is they call these epistles the PE epistles. The pastoral epistles. Some others call these the prison epistles, because Paul is in prison. He is under arrest in Rome. So, Verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul realizes his death is imminent. Paul realizes that he has done all that the Lord has asked him to do. In verse 7, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. At this point in Paul's life, he knows that he is going to be imprisoned and probably killed by the Roman authorities. So, with all that in mind, also, this is a way of reminding Timothy this is going to be his path also. And really, anybody's path who desires to follow Christ. Because if we desire to follow Christ, we will be against the grain of those who of society and of everybody. We will run afoul of authorities. We will run afoul of social systems, because the way of Christ is not the way of the world. And if you're not living the way of the world and living the way of Christ, we all will offend. We all will come up against those systems. And really, and it is Paul exhorting Timothy to keep up the good fight, be a good soldier for Christ. Keep up the good fight. And Timothy's going to need it. As a matter of fact, I alluded to it, I think, last week, that Timothy probably wrote a letter to Paul asking to see him. And in chapter 4, it is confirmed that that happened. And it's not that Timothy is a wimp and that he needs reassurance all the time. It's a matter of Timothy being in the middle of this. And it can be overwhelming. Not that he isn't capable of handling the situation. It is a matter of having somebody in your corner saying, this is what the kingdom of God and preaching the kingdom of God is going to be like. And not only that, not only are you're going to be facing all this opposition, but Christ supplies the Holy Spirit in order that we may be fully equipped to handle any situation. And being fully equipped to handle any situation is being fully equipped by the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept faith. He is using athletic imagery to say that he has run his course, and he is able to say, I have done all that I could. I have kept faith. And really, in the Greek, when it says I have kept the faith, it's basically him saying, I have kept the promise from the beginning. I have kept the promise I made from the beginning. So he has kept the faith. He has finished the race and he's fought the good fight. And he's telling Timothy this because Timothy is going to take over for Paul. And Timothy is going to need these words of encouragement to remember what Paul, his mentor, has taught him, has shown him. And not only that, he's going to have to fight these battles, so to speak, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father will deliver him out of all these things, just as he delivered Paul out of his moments of trial. He will deliver Timothy from Timothy's moments of trial. As I was with, be strong and courageous. As I was with Moses, I will be with you, Joshua. As I was with Paul, I will be with you, Timothy. We all have to hear those words. I really do believe it, especially nowadays. We all have to hear those words. Be strong and courageous. As I was with, insert your name here, I will be with you. We all have to come into that situation, into that that I'm not even know what the word I want to use, that point of our lives and that point of our existence that we realize that it is not our battle. It is the Lord's battle. And as it's going to be with the Lord's battle, he will see it through. He will see it through. I don't know. I guess I'll say it anyway. One of the things that Paul said that is really kind of sticking with me lately is that basically, what can man do to me? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. There is nothing anybody can do to Paul or a man or woman who has that attitude that says, I cannot lose. Either if I live, Christ can use me more than he has in the past. If I die, I get to be with the Lord. And that is great gain. So, This is Paul in the last few days or weeks of his life, realizing that this is the end. He's going to, as a matter of fact, in verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not only to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. From what I said at the beginning of this study, that gives me hope. Who is calling me? All right, that gives me hope. Not only Paul can say he fought the good fight, and then he's getting the crown of righteousness. But also all who loved his coming will receive the crown of righteousness. And again, he's still sticking with athletic metaphor. The crown of righteousness. It is a crown given to the athlete or contestant who has completed. Who has successfully completed his task. And the righteous judge not only will give Paul on that day, but all who loved his appearing. And you know what? I looked at chapter 4 and I thought, much to my naivete, that this is going to be an easy chapter. This is really only in three parts. But part one was really heavy and really packed a lot into it. So I'm going to stop here and pick up on verse 9 next week. Because even in the personal instructions, there's a lot to work through in this. Sufficient to say that Paul realizes his time has come. He is, again, finished his race, and that he will receive the crown. So, this is a man who has completed all that he is set out to. If Paul is our pattern man, I for one am not meeting that pattern. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I would be totally lost. So, with that, I'm done. I hope that this wasn't too much of a downer, but I just need to be sober-minded about where I am at in the Lord and my walk with the Lord. So, with that, I'm done.
That was really good, Pastor John. Really good. Thank you. Yeah, I know we've been in that same place too. You know, the older you get, the more you think, you start to take stock, you know, like, what have I
Right.
done? What do I still have to do? Or am I done? You know, and so far we haven't gotten that word that we're done, but
Praise
we have.
God.
I know, praise God, but what if he does say, like in an hour, say, Louise, you're done. So I better be ready. And that's something that to not to take lightly, you know, like
Right.
I'll have tomorrow to repent, or I'll have tomorrow to get it together, or, you know, I'll have tomorrow to do what the Lord's calling me to do. It just yeah, it is pretty sobering, and yet it's to me, I'm excited. I just think it's freeing to think that even though we have work to do, you know, the Holy Spirit, like you said, who would be able to do any of it without the Holy Spirit? So, anyway,
Amen.
amen. Thank you. It was good. Good.
Randy, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Just listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord is
I'm
the
gonna
Lord
make
is moving. The Lord's moving in the family, and you know. And it's like we just have to be ready and patience. I've been working on that one.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, it's like you said, Louise. You say you always got tomorrow to do this or tomorrow to do that. You never know the day, nor the time the Lord's going to call you home. So you got to be ready. Yeah,
Yeah, sure,
to
for sure.
share in the word and talk about how Jesus changed our lives, and all that good stuff.
Well, it's kind of interesting, and I don't know, Pastor John, if you've seen it. I know, Randy, you've seen it in the kids, but like we don't really evangelize to our kids. But they see it more in what we do and what we say, you know. And
Right.
you know, I don't know. We were sitting here one night talking with Jeff and Angie. I think we were at their house, and they were talking about they don't have like cable. They, you know, they have different streaming channels. So we nonchalantly asked them if they ever watched The Chosen, and they d hadn't. So next thing I know, they were up north, and Angela's mother has been watching The Chosen. So they watched some of it. They came home and started from the first episode all the way up. And he was here this past weekend, I believe. He was helping Jerome do something. And he started talking about The Chosen and Christ, and he started weeping. I mean, I know that what we have tried to convey to them about Christ over the years is beginning to be fruitful. I don't know.
Well, you and Jerome and Randy and Cindy and myself and all of us old folks, sorry,
Yeah.
Randy,
Oh, I'm old.
have planted good seeds. And some of those seeds are just now coming to fruition.
Right. Yeah, I often wondered what how come. Like sometimes seeds are planted and watered, and then boom, there's fruit, you know. Like, okay. Why is it taking us so long? Is it because we need to be worked on that much? I don't know. You know, God has a plan, and he's got his timing stuff, but sometimes
Amen.
it's Yeah.
Yeah.
So, amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I'm thankful. I mean, the boys have talked to me about things, and they know that, I share the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's sobering, to hear somebody that, you never knew until you got married,
Right.
And, you know, like you said, you're seeding, you know, into their lives and their families' lives. And it's just a tough day for me today.
Yeah, I know. I saw that this morning, Randy. And we're hugging you from afar.
Thank you.
Praying for you, you know.
Oh, yeah. But
look at the fruit, you know. Look at what
came out of it. Yeah, I was talking to Jen about Clara. You know, and Jenna said, you know, I know you're having a tough time. And I says, you know what? I says, that little girl of yours is a blessing. And I says, and, you know, and she's smiling down, you know.
Right. I'm sure. Yep.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
When my dad passed away, the day after he passed away, my daughter went into labor with her second baby, and she was like 3 weeks early, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was a tremendous blessing.
Yeah. Well, it's ironic that Clara was born on her anniversary and her first birthday party is on the day that Maggie went home, you know. It's like, right. Wow, you know, the Lord is using things. He's using people that they don't even know they're being used, you know, to spread it. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Lord never ceases to amaze me.
I know.
How incredible.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
You know, and the incredible things he has done and continues to do. I'm just amazed.
Yep. You sit back and you look at, you know, where you were or where you are or where you're going to go. You know, it's like, you know what? Thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? Because of you, I'm who I am, you know?
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I think back and I'm like, where would we be?
Yeah.
You know, I honestly believe that without Christ, Jerome and I would have been divorced years ago.
Well, I would have never met Maggie.
I'd
have never met her.
You know. Yeah, it's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Who knows? Without Christ, we would be.
Yep.
Where would any of us be?
I know. Well, not who I was, but not who I shall be. But we're all becoming.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like that word, becoming. We're going to become what we're meant to be.
Yep.
Which is becoming. It's going to be coming.
Yes.
Yep.
Be ready. Like Pastor John said, be ready.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. Anyway,
I like the way Paul puts the two different aspects of the Spirit in our lives. The gifts of the Spirit, which is, bam, you got it right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit needs to be tended. It needs to be developed. You know, how are you going to learn patience unless you are put into situations where your impatience it manifests? And we are put into situations where it causes growth in our lives.
Yeah.
And what we've been talking about, you know, where would we be?
Right.
We certainly wouldn't be where we are now, but there's a point in where we are and where we have been. And there's a point in that growth. It is the Lord tending us and cultivating us.
Right.
So.
And I, you know, to me, it's, you know, to have fruit always meant something else until, as I get older in the Lord, I realize that it's not for us. And then when Bashar had that word and he said, you know, a tree never eats its own fruit, that has stuck with me. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, you have, you know, the Lord just produces fruit. I can't do it, but he does.
Yep.
And it's for others. It's not for me. Not for me to look like, oh, I got fruit, you know, in my life.
Right.
That makes sense. I don't know.
It does.
Yeah, you see the blessings that, you see the fruit, you see the blessings, and you just say, you right. know, wow, thank you, man, for who you are.
Yeah, amen. So anyway, blah, blah. Andrea's going to have her work cut out for her when she's
but oh, well, sorry, Andrea.
Mm-hmm. You're the best, okay. Andrea. You really are.
Here we are. Randy, pray us out.
Thank you, Lord, for the share today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor John, for Louise, for Andrea, for everybody that's involved in your word, Lord, in your ministry at our church and at all the other churches, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we come together in joy. And I pray, Lord, that each and every day that we share in the blessings that you have given us. And Lord, and we ask for more fruit. We ask for more fruit. And I just thank you, Lord. And I ask that you use us in a way to spread the word of God to our friends and to our family. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.